Jacob and I have just finished a 7-part series on the book of Acts about the growth of the gospel. And in the second sermon in that series, Jacob preached on the birth of the church in Acts chapter 2. And in verse 42 of that chapter, Luke, the author of Acts, describes what that new church was like. He writes, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. As we kick off our new sermon series for term two, we're going to focus on that idea of fellowship. We're going to look at what it means to live and interact as God's new community, the church. Many people today think church is an optional extra. In fact, many people think they can be faithful Christians and not be a part of a local church. Well, in this series, we're going to see that you can't be a Christian in isolation from other Christians. In fact, as followers of Christ, we need each other. Your brothers and sisters in Christ are God's gift to you to encourage you and help you walk with Him. Like the first church, we are to devote ourselves to fellowship, to meeting together as followers of Christ. And we're to sit under the teaching of God's word, we're to celebrate the sacraments together, and we're to pray for each other. That's what the early church did, and that's what we're to do as well. So this series is going to look at 9 of the one another's in the New Testament. There's heaps of them, but we're just picking 9 and we're grouping them all together. So we're going to do fairly topical sermons. And this morning we're going to start with how we are to love one another. That phrase, love one another, appears 18 times in the New Testament. 5 times by Jesus, all in John's Gospel. 5 times by Paul. 2 times by Peter. And 6 times in John's first letter. In fact, 3 of those appear in our text this morning, 1 John 4, verse 7 to 16. Originally, I was just going to do a thematic sermon and look at all 18 times one another appears, love one another appears in the New Testament. But after reading 1 John 4, I decided I'd preach on that passage. It's a ripper. John writes this. It should be on your front page of your notes as well. He says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest amongst us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him." So we're going to look at 3 things this morning. Firstly, why we should love one another. Secondly, how we know that God is with us. And thirdly, how we actually are meant to love each other. So let's start with why love one another. Because that's how John starts this section in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. John isn't commanding us to love one another. Rather, he's appealing to us here, or exhorting us to love one another. He's urging us as God's beloved people to love each other. But why should we do that? Well, John gives us 3 reasons. Firstly, because love comes from God. Verse 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God." The idea that John is expressing is that we love one another Because love is something that comes from God and it flows into our lives and it overflows into the lives of others. Paul says in Romans 5, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And he says in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love. So God pours his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, and the fruit of that Holy Spirit is love for God and for other people. Love for God and for one another comes from God. Love is a gift from God, a gift that is meant to overflow into the lives of other people. That's the first way we love one another. Secondly, we're to love one another because our love for others shows we've been born of God. Verse 7 continues, whoever loves has been born of God. This idea of being born of God is uniquely John. John uses it throughout his Gospels. He actually uses it 6 times in this first letter of John. To be born of God is the same as being born again or being born from above. Being born of God refers to the regeneration or the new life that God gives us through the Holy Spirit. John writes in his gospel, but to all who did receive Christ, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. When you believe in Jesus, it's like being born again or being born from above. You're born of God. It's the start of a whole new life. And John says throughout this letter, those who have been born of God, he says, practice righteousness and they cannot keep on sinning and they believe that Jesus is the Christ and they overcome the world. But here in our text, whoever has been born of God loves and specifically loves their brothers and sisters in Christ. One of the evidences of this new life that we have in Jesus is that we love one another. Thirdly, we love one another because our love for others shows that we know God. That's how verse 7 ends. Whoever loves knows God. If you really know God, you would love your brothers and sisters in Christ. In fact, he says it the other way around in the very next verse and then makes one of the most profound statements about God's character in all of Scripture. Verse 8, anyone who does not love does not know God because God is love. If you don't love one another, you obviously don't know God because God is love. Loving people is what God does. And if you knew God, you would love other people as well. It's an amazing statement, isn't it? God is love. But how do we know God is love? What evidence is there that God is a loving God? That love is central to God's character? Well, John answers that question in verse 9 and 10. And right in the middle of those two verses, John tells us how we don't know that God is love and how we do know that God is love. Verse 10, it says, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but he loved us. We know God is love because he loved us, not because we loved him. God's love for us has nothing to do with our love for him. Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, I came not to call those who love God, rather I came to call sinners. The Apostle Paul puts it like this, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And he puts it even more strongly 2 verses later, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. God loved us when we were his enemies, when we were sinners, when we didn't love him. Jesus says, love your enemies, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. We're to love our enemies because that's what God does. He loves people who are his enemies. He loves people who do evil. He loves people who do things that are unjust. He loves you and me, even though so often we don't love him. That's how we know God is love, because he loves you and me even when we fail to love him back. Secondly, we know God is love because God sent Jesus. Verse 9. In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so we might live through him. God actually manifests or reveals his love in thousands of different ways. Like we just saw a moment ago, God manifests his love by making the sun rise and sending rain. Every time you see the sunrise, you should say, that's God manifesting his love for humanity. Every time the rain comes down, that's God manifesting his love for humanity. Paul says God manifests his love by giving to all mankind life and breath and everything. So every time you take a breath, that's God's love for you. James, the brother of Jesus, says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. But the greatest gift that God gives is the gift of his only Son, Jesus. Jesus says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. We celebrate the birth of Jesus at Christmas because that was one of the moments that God showed us just how much he loved us. He sent his only Son into the world to become one of us. But even more than just sending Jesus, we know God is love because Jesus died for us. Verse 10 finishes, God sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. If you don't know what the word propitiation is, it's not a word we use very often. It's the act of satisfying God's anger. God's righteous wrath needs to be appeased, and it's appeased through the death of his Son Jesus. John's point is that we know that God is love because it was his love that sent Jesus to die in our place to appease God's righteous anger. That's why we celebrate Easter, because that was the moment God showed just how extravagant his love is for us. God loved us so much, he didn't just send his Son. His Son died for us. And it's all summarized in verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. If God is love and showed it by loving us and sending Jesus and Jesus dying for us on the cross, then we also should love each other. Our love for one another comes from God. It shows we've been born of God, and it shows that we know God. Brothers and sisters, do you know God? Have you been born of God? Have you experienced God's love in your life? If you have, then you ought to love each other. That's how you show that those things are true in your life, by loving one another in the name of Jesus. But then John goes a whole level deeper, as if that isn't deep enough. Basically says, if you want to know if God is present with you in your daily life, you will know it if you love one another. That's what he says in verse 12. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. I was going to look at what perfected means. It just being basically made complete in us. I had a whole point on verses 17 to 21, but it blew my sermon out by 1,000 words, so I cut it. So if you want to know what that is, come and talk to me. I want to focus now here on that idea of God abiding in us. How do we know that God is with us, that God is living in our hearts? Well, John gives us 5 ways that we can know that God is with us. The first and the last is because we love one another. Yeah. That's what John says in verse 12. If we love one another, God abides in us. In fact, he seems to be implying that while no one has ever seen God, we can see that God is really present with us through our love for one another. It's like what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit in John chapter 3. That the Spirit is like the wind. You can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of the wind. In the same way, we can't see God, but we can see the effects of God as we love one another as his people. One of the greatest proofs that God exists is how he changes people, how he turns people from people who once hated each other into people who now love each other. You know God is with you when you find yourself loving people you never thought you would ever be able to love. But then John gives us four more ways that we know God is with us. The next is because he has given us his Spirit. Verse 13. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. God is literally living in us through the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in the hearts of his disciples. That's what happens whenever someone becomes a Christian. God sends his Spirit to come and live in their hearts and changes them from the inside out. While God is everywhere, we can also say God lives in each one of us through his Holy Spirit, that he's with us through the Spirit. The third way that we know God is with us is because he has sent his Son. Verse 14. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. God is with us not only in some spiritual sense through the Holy Spirit, rather God was really physically with us in the person of Jesus Christ. Matthew says Jesus is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus says, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. John himself writes, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. God tabernacled or dwells amongst us in the person of Jesus Christ. So when John says no one has seen God, he's talking about God who is Spirit, the invisible God. But this invisible God is made visible in the person of Jesus Christ. Paul says he is the image of the invisible God. We know God is with us because he came down in person, in the person of Jesus. Fourthly, we know that God is with us because we confess Jesus is God's Son. Verse 15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We know God lives in us because we believe and confess that Jesus Christ is God's Son. If God wasn't living in your heart, you would never believe in Jesus and you'd never profess your faith in him. Your faith in the divinity of Jesus Christ is evidence of God's presence with you. Fifthly, we know God is with us because we believe God loves us. Verse 16, so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. When you know how much God loves you, when you believe or trust in God's love for you, you can know that God is living in your heart and making his love for you real. Your trust in God's love for you in Jesus is evidence that God is living in your heart through the Holy Spirit. So there's the five different ways, but John comes full circle. We know God is with us because his love shines through us. Verse 16 finishes, God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Whoever abides in love, whoever keeps loving God and keeps loving God's people, God lives in that person. Again, we get this that amazing statement of God's character, that he is love. We know God is with us when his love fills us and flows through us. Brothers and sisters, if you believe that God loves you, if you confess that Jesus is God's Son, if you believe that God came in the person of Jesus, if you love your brothers and sisters in Christ, then God is with you through his Holy Spirit. Your love for your brothers and sisters in Christ is evidence that God is with you. So John has laid the foundation for why we are to love one another. But I want to finish by asking, how do we love one another? I want to explore five ways that you and I are called to love one another. Firstly, we're called to love one another sacrificially. We are to love one another as Jesus loved us. That's what Jesus says. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. In fact, he says it again. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And straight after that, he says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. That's how Jesus showed his love for us. He laid down his life for us on the cross. And that's how we show our love for one another. We lay down our lives for them. We lay down our preferences and our pride and our needs for their sake. Paul says, as Jesus humbled himself even unto death on the cross, so we in humility count others more significant than ourselves. Let each of you look to the interests of others. We love one another by sacrificing what we want for the well-being of others. Are we loving one another sacrificially? Are you putting the needs of your brothers and sisters in Christ before your own? Secondly, we are called to love one another affectionately. Paul writes, love one another with brotherly affection. We love one another as if they're actually a part of our family, because they are. In Christ, these people sitting around you belong to your family. They're your brothers and sisters in Christ. And because they are a part of our family, we show them affection. In the New Testament, that affection is described in both physical and practical ways. Physically, we are to greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, you don't have to kiss each other, but we do need to greet each other in a way that culturally shows the appropriate amount of affection that we have for each other. Jacob is actually going to talk more about that next Sunday. But practically, we're to care for one another like family. We're to grieve together. We're to rejoice together. We're to eat together. Paul writes, as we have opportunity, let us do good, especially to those who are in the household of faith. As family, we're to look out for each other and to look after each other. Are you showing affection for your brothers and sisters in Christ? I expect some hugs after the service, just saying. Thirdly, we're to love one another sincerely. Peter writes, show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. A sincere love means it's genuine. The word literally means without hypocrisy. You don't pretend to love one another. You actually or really do love one another. Paul says, let love be genuine. You might not always feel loving, but a genuine love for your brothers and sisters in Christ means you genuinely want to love them and you genuinely show them the same undeserved love that God has shown you in Jesus. Are we sincere in our love for one another? Is your love for your brothers and sisters in Christ genuine? Fourthly, we're to love one another earnestly. Peter adds, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. And earnest love is a love that doesn't give up. It's a love that involves a degree of both intensity and perseverance. Later, Peter writes, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. And earnest love is a love that covers over the sins of other people. When they do you wrong, you just keep loving them. I'm going to come back to this idea in Sermon 5 when we look at forgiving one another. But is our love for one another earnest? Are you persistent in your love for your brothers and sisters in Christ? But the final way we're to love one another is practically. The Apostle John writes earlier in 1 John, in chapter 3, he says, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. You can't just talk about loving one another. You actually have to show that you love one another. Loving one another means making a meal, or mowing someone's lawn, or loaning them your car, or putting them up in your spare room, or visiting them in hospital, or paying a bill, or giving them a job. Loving one another means helping each other in practical ways. That's what we saw in Acts chapter 2 and in Acts 4, people selling their land and giving to those in need. That's what it looks like to love one another. Over the next 8 weeks, we're going to look at how we can show hospitality to one another. Loving each other means inviting each other into our homes. We're going to look at how we can live in harmony with one another. We're going to look at how we can show kindness to one another. We're going to look at how we can forgive one another and pray for one another and encourage one another and serve one another and even sing to one another. You don't want me to do that to you, but we're going to look at what that means. And we do all those things because we love one another. Is our love for one another practical? Do you love your brothers and sisters in practical ways? If someone asks, how have you shown your love for someone else at church this week, how would you answer that? Would you say, I haven't? Just been busy living my own life? Or could you tell them, oh, actually, I did this for them? Or we've been praying for them every single night this week as a family. Or I gave them a ring to see how they were going and made them a meal. How are you showing practical love for your brothers and sisters in Christ? Brothers and sisters, let us love one another, because love is from God. Because God is love. And because if you've been born of God and really know God, you will love your brothers and sisters in Christ, just like God does. And may our love for one another be sacrificial. May it be affectionate. May it be sincere and earnest and practical. May you love one another as Jesus has loved you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your amazing love for us in Jesus Christ. Lord, when we say that God is love, we mean that you are a loving God. You loved us even when we didn't love you. In fact, Lord, those who have been born of you love other people. Lord, those who know you want to be loving people just like you are. So, Lord, we thank you for your great love for us in Jesus. We thank you that you loved us first. We thank you that you loved us so much you sent Jesus Christ into the world to save us. That he loved us so much he died on the cross for our sins. Lord, your love is bigger and greater than we will ever appreciate on this side of eternity. But Lord, I pray that we would grow in our knowledge of your love for us in Jesus, and that that love would overflow in our love for each other. Lord, help us to love one another sacrificially, as Jesus did. Lord, help us to be affectionate towards each other. Lord, help us to love each other sincerely and earnestly and in very practical ways. Lord, I pray that when the world sees us and our love for each other, they would just be dumbfounded and they would say, what is going on with this church? What is going on with these people? This God must truly be real if they can love each other like that. Lord, may we be a witness of your great love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.